The Healing the City podcast is a ministry of the Village Church. If you would like to support the Healing the City podcast, you can become a subscriber for $3, $5, or $10 a month. This helps us pay for hosting and keep our equipment running. Also, if you would like to support our podcast, you can rate it on iTunes and Spotify and share it on Facebook. Welcome to the Healing the City podcast. My name is Pastor Eric Siepen. The following podcast is the second part of my radical marriage sermon from the beginning of this year. This particular part of the sermon deals with the idea of marriage being one of the major building blocks of the church, and second, how important it is to know who you are, a John 15 anthropology. I think both are very valuable in understanding what it means to be married and what it means to be single in the church and how we work together to glorify God and draw one another closer to Jesus. I hope you enjoy this section, and also later in the week or next week, we will respond to this, Susan and I, and discuss some of the ideas presented here in more detail. I hope you enjoy the podcast. In Ephesians, the writer Paul, when writing to Ephesus, is writing this beautiful chapter. We sang chapter 1 a little bit, now chapter 2. He's talking about how Jesus has brought Jew and Greek together, how he's transforming things. And in verse 19, he says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and raised to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit." When God's people gather, when God's people see themselves as the building blocks of the community of God, what we are doing, and this is really important, we are in a space right now, as you're listening to me talk, as we sing, as we eat, in all the other places that you engage people who are followers of Jesus, when you are practicing the building of the house of God, you are experiencing and building a thinning of the veil between the Spirit and God's people. Here at this moment, the veil is thinned. God's people are here with God's Spirit, looking to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus and to be built into a temple where his Spirit dwells, right? In this space is the moment that your marriage can be talked to and transformed. In this space, your identity as a single person, as a very important pastor, as one who has great and good things to offer, can be lifted up, transformed, and talked to. But for that to happen, married people need to see their marriages fully underneath the church and Jesus. And they need to see the way that they function, not as something to protect and keep safe and wall off, but to actually open and use as a part of the wall of the church, a building block, right? So often we are terrified that if people insert themselves into our marriages and into our parenting, that they're going, we're going to have to change, or there's going to be conflict, or we're not going to agree. And yet there's this invitation for you to bring all that God is, that you have, underneath the submission of God and his church. Now, I know that's, I'm not giving you a lot of practicals to that, but the other thing, single people, is that as you step into the community of God, there are people in this community who are your spiritual offspring. And what I mean by that, and we talked about this in parenting, that all of you are parents, is that there are people who need you to come alongside them and parent them, right? So here's what I mean by this. I'm going to, just one practical idea, single people. And I've been saying this for 20 years, and some of you were single and got married 20 years ago, so you know I've been saying this, but single people, you have a place in married people's lives. Married people, you need to open the door to single people. You know what that looks like? Here, let me give you a really difficult, crazy thing. invite a single person to your house and say to them, someone you know and trust, say to them, hey, you know what? We're not going to push back on you. We want you for the next 45 minutes to talk to us about our strengths and weaknesses and the way that you see us interact and the way you see us parent. And what do you think we need to change and where things are maybe difficult for you in particular in relating to us, right? And then don't push back on that. Just let the Spirit speak through that, right? Single people, some of that means that you're going to have some courage to be part of something that like that and use your voice in all of that. I could spend a long time talking about this. Really, all I'm trying to get across to you is that the church community is important and that your marriage is a building block, no matter what it looks like, is a building block in this community towards a space where God dwells and where the Spirit is thinned and we can listen. And if you are single, you are a building block in the community of God and you are needed. Now, with those three ideas at hand, I want to talk about understanding who you are. A John 15 anthropology. Now, this is not fully my idea. I steal some of these ideas from Henry Nouwen, who I love. You can read his book, Life Signs, which kind of expands some of these ideas. But when it comes to understanding how to have a healthy marriage and how to live as a healthy single person, John 15 is actually a fascinating study on a human being and what human beings need. So, you heard it read, so I'm going to take advantage of you having heard it read. You can open your Bible or your phone and look at John 15 if you need to. I'm just going to start with this idea that all of us need intimacy. All of us need to know that we are loved, right? That is how we are created. We need to know that we're loved. Now, verse 4, Jesus says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. What Jesus is saying here is that you do not need your husband, you do not need your wife, you do not need someone else to have intimacy. And what's really powerful about this statement here is that Jesus is saying, at the garden, humanity was exiled, and humanity actually was alone, and there was no intimacy with God or one another because it was broken. And now Jesus is saying, if you will remain in me when I remain in you, you will experience intimacy, but you have to be willing to do that, right? So the first thing Jesus is saying here is that intimacy is actually important. Knowing that you are loved is essential to being healthy. And Jesus is saying, I'm the only one that can offer that to you. Now in marriage, what happens so often is that we have two ticks and no dog, right? This is a Larry Crabb statement. Two ticks, no dog, meaning you are trying to get intimacy and life from your spouse and there's nothing to give, right? There's nothing to give. The only way that you are going to have a fulfilling, intimate marriage is when both of you are finding fulfillment in Jesus, and what you are offering to the other person is Jesus. Not some, let me just try to fill up the hole. And so what ends up is in a marriage is you end up with all these demands and unspoken agreements and all this kind of stuff, and it piles up, right? Because you're desperate to be told that you're loved. And so what Jesus is saying in John 15 is, life's not going to work unless you will remain in me. I'm the only one who can tell you you have love, you are loved, and I'm the only one who's going to give you love in a way that will fulfill you and sustain you. Right? Now, he's not saying you aren't ever going to be empty. Now, if you're in marriage and it's healthy, or even if it's not, you're still going to experience at moments a sense of being loved. And your physical needs are going to be touched on, and your relational needs are going to be touched on, and your spiritual ones, and your, you know, an emotional and relational, all those are going to be touched on. But guess what, married people? If you are single, none of that is touched on. And in fact, the call to a single person is to find that intimacy with God in such a deep way. And yet in the church, by the way, married people have fallen down on the job in understanding that single people stand alone. So, you know, this is just my public service announcement, is hug a single person. Single people need a special care. You need to be aware that they need you relationally and physically and emotionally and spiritually. They need you to be aware of them, right? That's important. All right, so we all need love. But the other thing we need, the other thing that makes us human beings, is fruitfulness. Or a better way of saying it might be impact, right? In verse 5, Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." All of us want to have impact. We want to know that we matter. One of the things that I spend most of my life asking when I look in the mirror is, do I matter at all? Do I matter? Right? And all of the things that people say to me that say I matter don't matter that much, or they only last for a little bit, right? And then I'm back to asking the question, do I matter? When it comes to our marriages, a lot of times we look at them and we say, oh, they're not producing what we want. They're not doing the things that we want them to do. I'm not having the kind of impact in this marriage that I want to have, right? And so we make a choice to shut down, to just play the game, to back away, right? That's one way we deal with just a marriage that's not productive. We also do this when we're single, when we're like, I don't matter, so we just shut down, back away from people, I'm not going to try. Or we go to the other side and we're like, fine, I will find the importance of who I am in what I do. And we do. We forget about relationship and we just do. Because if I do something and if I make things and if I'm there and I'm doing this, I'm doing that, it's distracting. It has some sense of false sense of impact, and I can just keep doing. And if I don't stop, I don't have to feel lonely, right? Single people, you do the same thing, right? We all want to know we're loved, and we all want impact. But what Jesus says here is that the only way you're going to have true impact, meaningful impact, is when you bear whose fruit? Not your own, Jesus's fruit, right? He's saying, if you remain in me, if you can sit in the fact that you are loved by me and you walk with me, then guess what kind of fruit you're going to bear? Jesus' fruit, right? You are going to bear the fruit of peace and grace and mercy, right? Of long suffering and patience. You're going to bear these kinds of fruit. And what he's saying is, if you'll rest in my love for you, you will have eternal impact on your spouse. If you keep trying to demand that they love you a certain way and you try to grasp it for your own self, you will not offer your spouse, your community, anything good. Right? So this is what makes up our marriage. This is what makes us human. All the things I have to say, they apply to you if you're single or if you're married. But in marriage, there is a dynamic, a person you've committed to, and all of this stuff starts playing itself out. Now, the third thing, though, as John summarizes everything, he says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. What he is arguing is if you find intimacy in me and you bear my fruit, you will bear much joy. You will have a life of joy. Now, what's really interesting is that we spend our life describing how we feel. And if I said, hey, let's just list out all the joy feelings and then let's list out all the terrible feelings. There are hundreds and hundreds of terrible feelings. But when we talk about joy, it's very difficult. And the thing is that joy is a new thing, right? It's not a static thing. It's happening and happening and happening, and it's dynamic, right? So what Jesus is saying is, if you'll remain in me and your fruit will be my fruit, then you will have a dynamic life. You will have a life where joy springs forward in your relationships with your spouses. As a single person, as you walk into community, you will see and know your impact, and you will find joy in what God is doing around you, right? But if you're fighting and demanding that people love you a certain way and that you have a certain kind of impact, you will have a depressing, lonely life, right? That's what Jesus is saying. But what's beautiful about all of this is he's saying you don't have to be married to experience this to its fullness, because this is what you were designed for, and I will give it to you. Right? I can give you the ultimate intimacy, the ultimate impact, and the ultimate joy. You've been listening to the Healing the City podcast with Pastor Eric Siepen. If you enjoy Healing the City podcast, please like us on Instagram and Facebook, share us, rate us, and in general, just celebrate this podcast. Thank you very much.